Please be seated. All right. Thank you so much, choir. And we do have a wonderful music program here. I guess Jonathan and Jan have gone back, but let's recognize both of them for all their leadership. And just clap for them. Often what I'll do when I walk by people is I just do the wave, an individual wave to let them know. I appreciate them, and they're wonderful. And thank you, Jennifer, for leading us in our liturgy. But today, the Lenten season is here, and we're beginning a brand new sermon series, and it's called Love Like Jesus. And it's really kind of a study of the Gospel of Luke, and I think it has the potential to change a lot about who you are and a lot about who I am and how we respond to people in our various environments. And so I hope that you'll be reading the Gospel of Luke as we walk along this series and start in Luke chapter 1 and read the Christmas stories and read up to the crucifixion and the resurrection. And I know that you'll be blessed if you do that. But what we're doing in this series in particular is that we're looking at five different images of Jesus that remind us that we are not only called to receive the love of Jesus, we are called to share this love of Jesus with everybody we meet. We are called, in a nutshell, to love like Jesus. So look at your neighbor and say right now, I want you to learn to love like Jesus. Would you do that for me, please? Love like Jesus. All right. So, very good. That's a great start. To get us started down the path, I want to have some crowd participation here. So everybody jump in on this. I have a Bible quiz for you. Are you ready? Are you ready for this Bible quiz? This is very important. I want you to do a sentence completion task with me. All right. So let's see if you can complete this sentence. When God created the world, he looked at it and he said what? It is good. He did. Way to go. That's great. He said, it is very good. Over and over and over again in that story, God creates, God says, it is good. That's pretty good. Okay, so this is a really big part of the creation story, this notion that everything is good. It's very good. It wasn't, do you remember this? It wasn't until Adam was created and he was all by himself and God said, it is not good, and maybe you know this one also, it is not good that Adam be what? Alone. That's it. Did you not know that? Everybody say that again. It's not good that Adam would be, and that's the first time when you're reading those early passages that you hear God saying something is not good. Up to that point, everything is good. It's very good. But when we get to Adam, it's not good that Adam or that humanity be alone. And so what I want us to be talking about today is something that often results from the times when we're alone. Now, we all need alone time. We need time for ourselves. But sometimes people are so alone that they experience something called loneliness. And I would guess that we have all experienced loneliness at one time or another. But what I want to say today is that love like Jesus reaches out to lonely people. Love like Jesus embraces and holds lonely people. And that's so important. You're going to see why. But the question is, when we're talking about lonely people, who are we talking about? I mean, that's a question that is kind of begged by this whole topic. Who are lonely people of our culture, and how can we help these lonely people? And I'm guessing that if I asked you, who are the lonely people in our culture? Who is it that struggles with loneliness? If you're like me, the first group I thought of was folks that are more mature or older, and maybe people that are shut in their homes. Maybe they're folks that are widowers or widows, and they miss their loved ones, and they feel very, very lonely. Then I also thought about people who struggle with mental illness, maybe depression or anxiety. I mean, social phobias, you know, leave people feeling very, very alone. But I also, and those are all good possibilities, and maybe you thought of other ones, but I also, what I want to do today, part of what I want to do today is expand our awareness of all the people in our lives who may be lonely. I want us to think more broadly about loneliness, because I'm guessing that loneliness is a lot bigger than any of us probably realize. And it's kind of interesting. When you read about loneliness in scientific literature and psychological literature, they will talk about loneliness and some other kind of human experiences in terms of poverty. And they will say that we have, you know, three or four kinds of poverty in our world and in America today, that we have, first and foremost, we have material or physical poverty. And so that's one of the reasons that we're inviting you to the Trinity table, because those folks are very, very impoverished in terms of their materials and their physical lives, and they may not have the very foundational basic things that we need just to survive. So that's one kind of poverty that we talk about in America. We talk about material poverty. Then also, and not everybody talks about this, but I talk about spiritual poverty. And spiritual poverty is kind of a poverty of meaningfulness in life. It's a poverty of purpose. It's a poverty of direction. We have this spiritual poverty. We have this emptiness in our hearts that we know only God can fill up those empty parts of our heart. But for whatever reasons, we tend to try to fill up those empty parts with something else, and it ends up leaving us spiritually impoverished, okay? So that's the second kind of poverty. But this third kind of poverty, I think, really hits on loneliness. It's social, emotional, or relational poverty. And you know, we did an entire sermon series around friendship back last year, and we talked about how we are so relationally impoverished in America when it comes to friendship. And we talked about social media and broken homes and all these different contributing factors. But that's the third one. And relational poverty is the idea that you can be in a large crowd of people, even with some people that you know, and you can be in the midst of that large crowd of people, all that energy and social action, and you can feel completely alone. You can feel lonely. You can have, you know, 1,000 followers on Instagram or Facebook, and you can still feel completely alone. And so, you know, I see this happening. Maybe you're walking through a mall and you're surrounded by people and there's all kinds of energy. Maybe this is an outdoor mall like the Avalon and there's just all this electricity in the air. But for some reason, you have this nagging sense of loneliness. You know, maybe you're at church and you're surrounded by people and you go to your Sunday school class and you come to worship and you love the music and you hear a word, but the whole time you're struggling because you feel this incredible sense of loneliness. Maybe you're a stay-at-home mom or a stay-at-home dad, and you want to do this. This is a part of the deal. It works best to do this. But about 3 o'clock every day, for some reason, you have this nagging sense of loneliness. Maybe you're a college student, and you're living in a dorm, and you're surrounded by all kinds of people who are your age and have your energy level. But you know what? If you don't connect with them, if you don't find friendships, if you don't link up with people, you know what? You end up feeling desperately lonely. So what this tells us is that loneliness, I think, it's a lot bigger in America than we let on. And we probably don't want to let people know that we're lonely. It's like, that's an embarrassing thing to say, I'm lonely. But it shouldn't be. But the way our society is set up, it kind of feels that way. So loneliness can be felt and experienced by a lot of people in a lot of different places. And so the difference in material poverty and relational poverty. Material poverty is all about what you need, you know, water, food, the basics of life to make it through the day. And relational poverty, you know, it's all about what you need, you know, intimacy and connection and friendship and love and support. You need those things to make it not only through the day, but to make it through your life. And so loneliness is this huge thing. And before we move on to today's scripture, I want you to know something about loneliness. And this is a huge irony, really. And the huge irony is, if you feel lonely, you're not alone. That is such an irony. If you feel lonely, the irony is you are not alone. And so what do I mean by that? Well, let me ask you this. If you were to make a guess at what percentage of Americans typically say that they're lonely, that they struggle with loneliness, you know, what would your guess be? Would your guess be that 25% or 1 in 4 Americans report in surveys that they feel lonely? Would your guess be that 33% or 1 in 3 Americans say that they're lonely? Would your guess maybe be 50% that every other American says and owns on scales and surveys that they are lonely? So let me just get some more crowd participation. How many of you would think that 1/3 of Americans say that they're lonely? Is there anybody on the 1/3 side? Yes. How many of you would say that, I'm sorry, well, let's go then to 1/4, 25% of Americans. Let's see a show of hands. How many of y'all would say that 50% of Americans, every other American, say they're lonely? Well, give me a drum roll, please. The 50 percenters have it. It's pretty unbelievable. Half of America, 1 in 2 people, every other person you meet out there at work, at church, in society, at the grocery store, could possibly be lonely, deeply lonely. And so research says that half of Americans, there was a fellow out at UC Berkeley called Matthew Walters. He said it's not only half are lonely, but also almost half, 47%, feel left out by other people, which is like the double whammy. If you're lonely and then you're left out, I mean, where does that leave you? Then Cigna did a really interesting study, and they found that half of the participants reported meaningful face-to-face, you know, communications with friends and family every day. And you think, well, that's really pretty good that half of the people. What about the other half? Half did not report meaningful conversations every day with family or friends. And then this is really interesting. Which generation do you think scores the highest in loneliness? Is it the boomers? Is it the millennials? Or is it, I guess they call them the Gen Zers. Which one do you think reports the highest level of loneliness? The big surprise to me was it's the Gen Zers. The 20 to 22 to 24-year-olds, they report in surveys the highest levels of loneliness. So everywhere we go, here's what one thing I want you to hear. We encounter lonely people who need to be loved out of their loneliness. So look at your neighbor and say, if you're lonely, I'm going to love you out of your loneliness. If you're lonely, to love you out of your loneliness. That's the call. We are called to love lonely people the way that Jesus did. And they're out there. Like, we have a huge mission. Half the people you meet may need to be loved out of their loneliness. And today, we have some guidance. We have some direction from Luke chapter 5, where we see a picture of, I'm guessing here, a very, very, very lonely man. And then we also see an image of Jesus and how Jesus loves this man, this person, out of his loneliness. So let's look at this amazing scripture in Luke chapter 5, verse 12. We read, while Jesus was in one of the towns, and this is towns around Galilee, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. Now look at your neighbor and say, what's leprosy? Look at him right now. What's leprosy? Just look back and say, it is a horrible, terrible thing. It is a. This is great crowd participation today. Way to go, you guys. So you need to watch this. He fell with his face to the ground. So this is really interesting here. I want you to watch this. He fell with his face to the ground. So he's still mobile. And he begged Jesus. This is interesting. Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. So this is really interesting because this is almost not a request. He is not requesting that Jesus make him clean. He's making a statement. He's saying, Lord, I know if you want to. I know you have the power. I know you have the authority to make me clean. And the fact that Jesus and this man are having a conversation is incredibly remarkable. You know, lepers in the day of Christ were restricted to certain locations, usually outside the city, and they were restricted to those locations because their condition was so contagious. Like you could just walk by a leper and you could be in trouble. And so the question is like, what are they doing talking in out of this zone? You know, this is a big question. What we know is that lepers were a very lonely people walking a very lonely road. And so any spark of hope must have captured this man's attention. I mean, when you think about what lepers went through, it's pretty incredible. They were so contagious that the Old Testament had Levitical laws about how you were to respond to a leper, what you were to do with a leper, where lepers were supposed to live, how they were supposed to respond. There were all of these rules and regulations, and at the end of the day, these leprous people were rejected by their society. They were rejected by their families. They had to be because of this contagious factor. They were rejected by their church. They were invisible. They were outcasts. They were out of the city. They were in horrible places. And yet this encounter takes place. And leprosy was so dangerous. It had such a brutal, cruel effect on a human life. Usually a leper would live for about 10 years. They would begin with muscle aches and joint pain and fatigue. And if you're feeling that way today, it's probably the weather, it's not leprosy. But horrible things followed. Their muscles became scaly on their skin, and there were these horrible red rashes and bumps. This is so pictures, but I just couldn't bring myself to do it. You know, once their whole body was covered with this skin condition, then it went to work on the interior parts of the body, and particularly it would attack the vocal cords so that a leper did not sound like they once sounded before they had this terrible condition of leprosy. The structure of their face would sink in, and pretty soon they would just be laying in these lost places, decomposing in the sun, and a horrible odor filled the air as people with leprosy and loneliness died. And so this man in Luke chapter 5, he's incredible in some ways. We know that he has leprosy. Luke says that he's covered with leprosy, but he's still mobile, so we don't actually know the totality of his condition. What we do know is that this was an awkward, jaw-dropping encounter. The people that would have witnessed this, they would have been just blown away by this incredible moment. Because when the man walks up to Jesus,
He simply says, if you're willing, if you choose to do this, I know you can make me clean. And in this moment, the one who came to love and embrace and hold lonely people, he shows us the heart of God. He doesn't shun the leper, which is what every other rabbi and religious person of the day would have done. He doesn't walk the other way from the leper. Instead, we read, he reaches out and he touches the man and he says, I am so willing. I'm not afraid of your leprosy. I'm not overwhelmed by your loneliness. I am not deterred by what society says. He says to the man, be clean. And immediately the leprosy leaves the man. And then Jesus ordered him. He said, don't tell anybody about this, which I think is kind of funny. Don't tell anybody about this healing you've just experienced, but go show yourself to the priest and offer sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them. And so what we have here is this beautiful image of Jesus loving a lonely person. We have this beautiful image of Jesus healing a man who has struggled with leprosy, who's been outcast from society, who's been set aside by his family, who's been rejected by untold numbers of passersby until this very moment when love like changes everything. And leprosy is not common today, but causes of loneliness are very common today. When you look at the causes of loneliness in our culture, people talk about this relational impoverishment that comes from broken families and from divorce and from addiction. The literature also talks about how our jobs have become But our jobs are so mobile, it's like we've put ourselves into a position where we just don't connect with our neighborhoods because we don't live there very long or long enough to be able to connect with the people living 20 feet from us. You know, then there's also social media, and we spent an entire couple of series talking about how social media, you think it would build and cultivate relationships, but what we find is everybody has 1,000 friends on Facebook, but we still feel very, very lonely. And so what I want us to do with the time remaining is I want us to think about the ways that we see Jesus loving this man out of his loneliness in this very brief story in the gospel that we've read. And one of the first things that I see Jesus doing in this story that loves this knowledge out of his loneliness is he simply acknowledges the man. He just says, hey, I see you there. But I love how he does this. We read in verse 13, that Jesus saw this man. The man said, Lord, if you're willing, make me clean. And then look at this in verse 13. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. And we're going to come back to that part about touching the man. That's such a crucial part. But I love this first thing. Jesus reached out his hand. Jesus acknowledged, I see you. I see your leprosy. I see your pain. I see where you're living. I see you. It just seems like one of the most important things we can do for people who are struggling with their own form of leprosy or their own form of loneliness. It just seems like one of the biggest things that we can do to begin the healing process is to say, man, I see it. You are not alone in your loneliness. I see the struggle. I get it. I understand it. I've experienced loneliness myself. And at the end of this passage, you read that Jesus went to a only pace to pray. So even Jesus understood the power of loneliness. But I love this gesture. He reaches out to the man with his hand. That is such a positive gesture of affirmation that we all need. We all need to know that we are seen, that people acknowledge us and embrace us. You know, when Hunter was just a really small child, we'd go visit him at his house before he came to live with us, and he would be playing with something on the floor. He'd say, "Look at me, look at what I'm doing." And he got into this phase where he was taking everybody's picture. He's like, look at me, taking your picture. And the funny thing was, he always cut our heads off, like every time, you know, but look at me. And that's such a fundamental human need. We may not say it that way, and the leprous man didn't say it that way. He said, if you're willing, he's like saying, look over here. Look at me. And the beautiful news is that God acknowledges lonely people. Love like Jesus sees lonely people. So that's the first thing we learn from this passage. The second thing we learn is love like Jesus hears lonely people. I want to make sure you get that. Look at your neighbor and say, love like Jesus hears lonely people. Hears them, right? Do that. Love like Jesus sees lonely people. Love like Jesus hears lonely people. And so this is not just hearing the words. Jesus heard the words, Lord, if you're willing, heal me, you know, cleanse me. Jesus heard those words, but I'm talking about something different. I'm talking about not only hearing the words, I'm talking about hearing the message that's underneath the words, right? And so I'm talking about listening, really actively listening. Jesus listened to lonely people. He did. You see it in the chapter before, Luke chapter 5. There's all these sick people just coming at Jesus, and they wanted to be touched, and they wanted to be around Jesus. Why did they so desperately want to be around Jesus? Because nobody else heard them the way Jesus heard them. So Jesus hears this leper, and he's saying, you know, if you're willing, I want to be clean. But he's saying so much more. He's saying, I not only want to be cleansed of my leprosy, I want to reconnect with my family. I want to reconnect with my community. I want to be able to go to church just like anybody else. I am so desperately lonely. I need intimacy. I need connection. I need love. I need understanding. All of that was in this plea. Lord, if you're willing, make me clean. Connect with me. Isn't that what lonely people are saying? Love like Jesus sees lonely people and acknowledges their significance and importance. Love like Jesus hears the message underneath the words of lonely people. And finally, love like Jesus, this is the apex of the whole story. This was a leper. If we could see this person, we wouldn't want to be in 50 feet. I mean, I would have said, oh, I'll go and pray for you. That's what most of us would have said. But not love like Jesus. Love like Jesus touches people in appropriate healing ways. So it says, Jesus reached out his hand and he touched the man. And now this is really interesting. If you're looking at the Gospel of Luke, or you're looking at Matthew and Mark, 9 times out of 10, when Jesus performs a healing, he does not do it by touching people. 9 times out of 10, how do you think Jesus does a healing? He does what? He speaks a word, right? He just utters a word, be healed. And the guy's healed. I mean, Lazarus is in the tomb. He's been in there for 3 days. Does Jesus go in there and shake him? No. Jesus stands out of Lazarus' tomb, stands outside and says, Lazarus, come out. It's a word of miraculous life-giving healing. But in this story, this is so remarkable. He doesn't just offer a word. He does what? He offers a touch. And I'm just wondering. I wonder what this man needed more healing for. Did he need more healing from his leprosy, or did he need more healing from his loneliness? I mean, did Jesus heal this man, or did he just hold him? Wow. You know, how many of y'all have dogs? How many of y'all have more than one dog? Five dogs? No, we just have two. We call them our babies, you know. They are our babies. They're a Puggle and a Shih Tzu. And you know, it's been raining a lot lately. Thunderstorms. Like, there was thunder and lightning the other night. And how do your dogs, do they like that? Our dogs do not like that. And they're so clingy. Like, when there's a storm on the horizon, like, I think Jack is like a weather dog, because he knows when it's coming, and he starts, you know, pawing up on me, wanting me to hold him, and he is just shaking. It's incredible. He's so scared. He doesn't want to be alone. He desperately wants to be with somebody, but here's the beautiful news. We have this thing called a thunder shirt. Are you familiar with the thunder shirt? You are not. Oh, you're kidding me. Every dog owner needs a thunder shirt. A thunder shirt is this thing that you wrap around the dog, and it's really on their skin very tight. So it just feels like they're being hugged, they're being loved really tight. And Jack, he just loves his thunder shirt. He does. And here's what I think. I think we all need a thunder shirt. We all need to be held and loved and hugged and held tight in those moments when we're feeling alone and lonely. Love like Jesus is like a thunder shirt. It holds you. It hears you. And this love like Jesus, it sees you. Let's bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, that when we come to church, I know that we may feel lonely, but I know that here we have people who are reaching out, hoping to love anyone who's feeling lonely. And I pray, Lord, that as a church, we could learn in this Lenten series to love like Jesus. To remember that out there in the world, we may encounter people struggling with a leprosy that leaves them feeling lonely. That we would remember Jesus in Luke chapter 5, loving this lonely man out of his loneliness. Lord, we thank you for this, and we pray these things in Jesus' name.